I'm joined by Alan Dillon from our studio in Galway, Minister of State at the Department of Enterprise, Trade and Employment, and a Fine Gael TD for Mayo. Louise O'Reilly, a Sinn Féin spokesperson on social protection, rural and community development, and a TD for Dublin Fingal West. And Marie Sherlock is Labour TD for Dublin Central and party spokesperson on health as well. Now, we're heading for Black Friday. God almighty, don't we know we're heading for Black Friday with all the ads and so on. We're heading for Christmas as well. An awful lot of people are probably out and about buying stuff for Christmas, maybe, if they're not coming from the football pitch. But 'tis a season to make merry, and it seems to spend... That we spend an awful lot of money at this time of year for large packages of full of clothing and mass-produced cheap items that wing their way from Chinese-owned companies right to your front door in no time at all. And Irish consumers are one of the biggest fans, it seems, of fast fashion in the European context. I think we're the second highest producer in Europe of cheap produce that ends up in waste. And in spite of growing reports as well of environmental breaches by those companies, marketing breaches and labour law breaches as well, can I come to you, Minister Alan Dillon, firstly on this? And you're, as I say, in the Department of Enterprise. Like, these multinational, online, fast fashion, cheap production vendors, like, there's two sides to it perhaps, but is it in your opinion a good choice for consumers, or do they do more harm than good?
Well, certainly, Cormac, the concern is real. The clothing system and textiles are under huge pressure. As you said, we see around 65% of all used textiles aren't allocated separate collection systems. They end up in landfill or incineration. We see widespread clothes banks are full. And charities are becoming overwhelmed because of the sheer volume. And as you said, Black Friday is coming up, and fast fashion and global distributions in textile exports are increasing.
And so, an awful lot of us, let me go around the panel quickly on this, and we'll come back to you. An awful lot of us do buy online, Marie, don't we? I mean, does it do harm, in your opinion, to Irish shops, Irish retail shops?
Well, look, we all need clothes, and I suppose I'm conscious as a mother of three small kids, like, as in there's enormous demands for families out there. Yeah. But the reality is that we need our local shops to survive. There is obviously enormous dependence now on online chains, and I think there has to be serious questions asked about, you know, when you manage to buy a t-shirt for €3 in a particular outlet. Yeah. One person's bargain is another person's back-breaking work.
We have a cost of living crisis, of which you kind of alluded to there. So you can't blame people either, can you?
Oh, absolutely not. And I suppose the reality is that I suppose there's, you know, when we think about waste in this country, we think about the things we put into our bin in terms of food and other things. We don't necessarily think about, you know, clothes waste. And there's about 63,000 tons of textiles that go into waste every year. So how long are we wearing our clothes? Whether we paying them, are we handing them on? Are there enough incentives to repair? Enough incentives to actually ensure that there is a second market for clothes? And I think that's hugely lacking in this country.
I just wonder if you can incentivise people to recycle or look at recycled or used products when you can just go online, Louise O'Reilly, and buy that t-shirt or buy the Christmas gifts that you want for colleagues or whoever for much, much cheaper.
Well, I think there's a number of factors here. First thing we have to say, it's very important in the middle of a cost of living crisis not to judge people. Okay, right. So people are doing their best. They're trying to manage. The villains of the piece here are the likes of these large online retailers who face absolutely zero restriction in how they operate, who are allowed to operate with impunity, whose business model is actually designed to include a massive amount of waste. And, you know, I mean, my colleague Lynn Boylan, when she was a senator, she brought forward a piece of legislation which would have effectively have banned these companies from dumping unused or returned items. So that will force them to change their business model. And that's what we really need to look at, is forcing that level of corporate responsibility, that level of change. So on the one hand, you have, you know, people saying that we must do, you know, that we need to tackle at the corporate level, at the level where they're making obscene and disgusting profits and driven by greed. We need to tackle that absolutely. And then on the other hand, you see, when he was a senior minister in cabinet, Simon Coveney opening the headquarters of Shein here in Dublin. And, you know, what message does that send?
How do you reconcile that, Alan Dillon? A former colleague of yours opening the European headquarters of Shein in Dublin to great fanfare. And then if you listen to Louise O'Reilly saying that their economic model or business model is designed to include waste. I mean, is there a justification for it?
Well, there is, Cormac. You know, Shein is based in Ireland. It operates under the very large online platform laws. It is regulated by the EU Commission. It is supported by Ireland's Commissioner Nemán and the CCPC. I think the crux of this really is how Ireland can lead in regards to implementing a more circular textile strategy. And I am the Minister for Circular Economy, and I have set out clear policy direction through our national statement and roadmap for circular textiles.
I know, but that doesn't justify Shein allowing waste or incentivising or including waste as their, you know, business model, does it?
Well, certainly that's what we have to do. We have to fix a broken system, and for the first time we have to ensure that clothing manufacturers, brands, major retailers like Temu and Shein fund the collection, that they fund this, the repair, the reuse and the recycling of the clothing that they do put on the market, and that's why we have to move forward with including a polluter pays principle.
Well, why not just stop the pollution initially?
Exactly.
Well, it's difficult. Like, when you're dealing with, you know, global e-platform providers like Shein or Temu, we need to take a broader view at this at an EU level also. And certainly Ireland is a strong supporter around the establishment of an EU-wide levy.
Yeah.
I think that's part of a bigger shift, making sure that companies that do flood the market with ultra-cheap clothes pay their fair share.
Is that the way to go about it, Marie, in your opinion? Make them pay?
Well, I suppose the big concern is where does the levy land on then? It's probably the consumer. Actually, interestingly, Shimu and Temu and Shein would dispute that there's large waste, because, of course, for many people, it's not worth their while actually returning the goods because they're so cheap to start with. But I think irony
what
here.
Do you mean? Let's tease that out. So you buy that T-shirt or the dress or the clothes or whatever, and you say, it wasn't what I thought. So it's not worth, it's so cheap, it's not worth packaging this back and throw it out.
Precisely. So really? so their waste figures show up as being very small because they have very low level of returns. But, you know, there's an irony here. And when we saw the IDA and former Minister Simon Coveney opening the Shein office, you know, you had to think, well, if this company was actually producing here in Ireland, right, they wouldn't pass, there'd be serious breaches of health and safety, environmental laws, water regulations, patient regulations, if they were to abide by Irish and EU law. But but you know, it seems to be okay, according to the government and the IDA, that these goods are produced elsewhere,
Alan Dillon,
you know,
to paraphrase,
with terrible standards and sold into the EU market.
Well,
and I suppose,
I don't want to put words in your mouth. You're basically saying, Alan Dillon, that they're part of the economic ecosystem. Is that it?
But they are being regulated, Cormac, and certainly they are being regulated by the Commission. They are being supported through regulation under the Digital Services Act. And we do have, you know, close monitoring and engagement with the Commission.
Okay.
And
Minister,
even
with
last
respect,
year,
that's only
they
for the sale
out
of goods, not for the actual
not
goods
for the
themselves.
Recycling of them. I mean, if we look at, you know, where progress has been made in some areas, so France, for example, have now got 3 state-sponsored factories where proper recycling can take place. Here in this state, we only have 1, Liberty's Recycling. They are the only organisation that are doing recycling of textiles in any meaningful way. But
huge,
we need more support from
issue,
the state
right?
for the recycling. But let's not forget, these big online retailers, overproduction is part of their business model. And it is part of their business model because it is facilitated by the Irish government and other governments. If there was an interest at government level in ensuring that we tackled this, then they'd tackle it at the source.
Well, do you know who, and we're getting a huge amount of thanks to 51551. I'll come back to you in just a second, I promise. But I do want to hear actually from Irish retail, Irish businesses who open their doors every single morning and people who work in those shops as well, to see if they're impacted by this. But I tell you who is impacted. it is charity shops who sell used products time and again at this time of year, right throughout the year as well. Mark Sweeney is Donated Goods Strategy Manager with Oxfam Ireland. Mark, good afternoon to you.
Hi, Cormac, thanks.
Not too bad. You're listening to the conversation. Are you impacted, your shop, by your charity, by fast fashion and cheap products?
Absolutely. And I mean, the discussion that's been there this morning has kind of highlighted a lot of what I would have said. I mean, what happens, what we see a lot of is people buying multiple items, not returning them and saying, oh, isn't it great? I'll just give them to the charity shop. And while we welcome donations, poor quality donations, and it was brought up, I think it was Maria that said it earlier, about if you buy a T-shirt for €3 online, the other side of that is, what can we potentially sell that as a second-hand item, even if it hasn't been used? What we see a lot of the time is those clothes are never worn because they're so badly made, they're so mis-sized that, like I said, people will buy three sizes. They'll buy the size that they think they are, and they'll buy the side either size of that, side of that. And then what happens is they might wear it once, and then they pop it into the bag and they give it to us. And then why that's such poor quality that the resale value of it is very little. Plus, nobody will want to buy it secondhand because they can buy it so cheap online. Mm. So there definitely needs to be regulation around how those brands interact with the customer. And from my point of view, the strongest one that France are trying to enact is banning the advertisement. I have two young kids and I see them, they play games on their iPad. They're games that are suitable for a 7 and a 9 year old. And sometimes I help them. And they're being marketed to buy these Chinese brands on those games that are suitable for kids.
So you make a charity like yours, for example, so it's easy to buy is basically what you're saying, and it's easy to get rid of the stuff that doesn't fit or that you don't want. It's so cheap, right? But, so you're inundated. But let me read you some text to 51551, because some people are kicking back, I think, a little bit. Sean says, the online stuff that comes from China is exactly the same stuff that's on sale in our shops. Just check the label. All are made in China, and wherever they're on sale, they all end up in the dump. So he seems to say it doesn't matter if it's coming from these online platforms or somewhere else, the result is the same. Gara says, let me read you two more if I may. I do all my shopping online, except for groceries. I can't cope with the amount of people in shopping centres or the cost of parking, which is a key for an awful lot of people. I look forward to the day that I can shop for groceries on Amazon, says that listener. And one more from Darren in Dunmore East. I live on disability allowances, Darren. I can't afford to buy brand names. Most of my clothing is bought on Shein cheaply. It's reasonable quality, he says. Outside of that, I simply couldn't afford new clothing often. So either raise the disability allowance or stop whining, says Darren. How do you respond to those points, Mark?
Well, I mean, look, I can understand there's a cost of living crisis. But ultimately, people can choose to buy in charity shops. They can choose to buy secondhand online. There seems to still be a stigma around secondhand. Secondhand isn't second best. Secondhand is as good a quality. Secondhand is what people have in their wardrobes right now. Every piece of clothes that you own, Cormac, is secondhand. I'm sorry to tell you. So there is this thing where people say, oh, well, I have to buy it online because it's cheaper. You can buy in a charity shop and you'll get better quality. What we have found, and we've done this, people won't buy the things that the ultra fast fashion brands, the things that are poorly made, they don't want to buy them from a charity shop. What they want to buy from a charity shop, and where the rise in people buying in charity shop has been, is finding better quality stuff at affordable prices. So there's a disconnect there, and I think there needs to be more done. We have a fantastic working circular economy in Ireland established for decades. It's been present. It's been part of our lives from before the boom, all through this. It has maintained.
Yeah.
We are lucky, as other EU member states don't have as mature a circular economy model.
In Oxfam and other charity shops, you're appealing, like, take a visit, have a look at your goods for sale in the run up to Christmas. Can I put some of those points to Minister Alan Dillon, though? Some people are saying, look, on Darren in Dunmore East, either raise the disability allowance or stop whining about people buying on cheaply produced online vendors. I mean, is that a fair point?
It is, Cormac, and certainly I'm not going to lecture anyone who is stretched to their family budget. But just let me make two really important points. At an EU level, we are revising the Waste Framework Directive. And that sets out really, really important and big changes. And Ireland must have an EPR scheme for textiles in place by April 2028. And we will have that transposed by June of 27. And that very much introduces a modulated fee for the likes of Shein, these big manufacturers, retailers. And the cheaper the product, the dearer it will be to put on the market. Because we understand that fast fashion costs more to put on the market, while sustainable design should be rewarded. And I think these fees will fund in future the importance around collection systems, around sorting, around recycling infrastructure. So that clothes don't end up in our landfill.
Okay, but they do because they're so cheap, which is the whole point of the discussion today. I mean, have you looked at other protests, other kickbacks in other countries about fast fashion and people basically saying, we're not happy with the Shein model here? Have you looked at that at all? Have you interacted with Shein recently, Minister, on those?
No, we haven't interacted, but certainly we understand the concerns around the model and the business models of tens and thousands of small parcels coming into the Irish market. And indeed, at a European level, that's why they're looking at, you know, providing an EU-wide levy. And I think that's really important. But I don't think it's just about a levy. We need to complement broader streams and bring them in also and ensure that we get better grade garments, that we have improved sorting, that we have better campaigns and management. Mm. And I believe it's about building the national ecosystem that supports repair, recycling, reuse. And that also includes supporting local repair businesses, community initiatives, and also social enterprises like the Liberties.
Louise, a Galway listener, says some of the clothes are so expensive in charity shops, some up to €60 or more. Porrick Nolan, another, says, I shop regularly in charity shops, but the value in some of them is particularly poor.
I think, you know, when the minister talks about the circular economy, I mean, it'd be hard not to laugh sometimes when, you know, they ramble into a studio, you put a microphone in front of them, they'd say practically anything. But then when you look at their actions and you see the fact that they voted against Lynn Boylan's bill, which would have banned this dumping, okay, by these large groups, they voted against or voted to postpone Jed Nash's bill in relation to the right to repair. And in Europe, they're busy trying to water down the corporate due diligence responsibility legislation, which again would compel and force these large companies to take responsibility for their actions. We cannot and we must not shove the responsibility on this, you know, onto ordinary people who are working hard in the middle of a cost of living crisis.
Is that what's happening,
while the likes,
Alan,
of Temu, Shein and all of them, with the acquiescence of the government, are making out like bandits here.
Burden,
there is
the
greed that is driving this and it needs to be tackled.
Is that what's happening, Alan?
Absolutely not. And I think Louise is, you know, hugely distorting the actual current situation. This is about changing the system and indeed, you know, ensuring that consumers change their habits also.
And I
think that measures does reduce fast fashion trends.
It disturbs me, Minister, that you say you haven't interacted with the likes of Shein given recent pushback in other countries, because listeners may know that in France there has been protests as a result of Shein selling childlike dolls for men's pleasure. And this is a pivot in the conversation. I understand that. But we looked into this in an Irish context. And when you open Shein on an Irish computer and you type in dolls, one of the options that comes down in a Dropbox is dolls for men pleasure. And when you click into that, another option that comes up is child pleasure dolls for men. And then you see a range of childlike, baby-like dolls for purchase, giving descriptions of the size, 21-inch and so on. I mean, should we be selling that kind of stuff on a platform that's available here, Minister?
Well, firstly, Cormac, you know, the discovery of these products are shocking. They're completely illegal. And indeed, France had a right to act. I suppose if anyone has any concerns over products or items that have been brought to their attention, I would encourage them to report them to the CCPC or Commission Le Mans. Again, there is the, you know, regulations that are in place to hold these large e-platform services to account. And I think it's not just about
fashion. Do you not
fashion.
Have concerns about this?
I have huge concerns, and certainly, we need to protect families.
Were you aware of the story in France, in the protests in France?
Yes, no, I was aware, and very much we are keeping abreast of this with the EU Commission, and
You weren't in contact with Sheen about this, and they have their European headquarters here.
Opened by Simon. Well, Coveney,
we have checked.
We never endorsed this, anything like this.
Well,
obviously.
Let me ask. We have checked with the CCPT. Sheen, we need to talk about the fact that he did open
their complaints.
Let me say this.
Let me say this, Cormac. No complaints about these specific prohibited products have been reported here in the Irish context to our authorities who manage both consumer protections, but also
does there have to be a complaint?
Well, listen, Sheen were held to task. They were required to carry out risk assessments and put measures in place to protect minors and also to prevent illegal content. No one wants to see this. And my understanding that Sheen has removed the items, and I think
in France,
the European Commission themselves have launched an investigation. So an investigation is undergoing through the Digital Services Act, and rightly so.
How come that was seemed to be available for purchase on the Irish version of the website?
Well, I'm not aware of that, Cormac. And again,
It seemed to be anyway. And they've given us a statement here because we did ask them about this. Another French government initiative, because the French government has acted on foot of the protests in France. Sheen takes note of the government's announcement. They say, we're committed to working with the French authorities to address any concerns swiftly, as we've always done, and we're seeking dialogue with the authorities and government bodies on this issue. Independent of the Prime Minister's announcement, and in order to address concerns expressed in recent days, Sheen had already decided, they say, and announced that it would temporarily suspend listings from independent third-party vendors in our marketplace while we review and strengthen how third-party vendors operate on our site. Now, my question to Sheen and my question to the Irish authorities is why the need to review to sell baby-like sex dolls on any platform, anywhere?
Well, certainly it shouldn't happen, Cormac. And, consumer protection and safeguarding of minors online is critically important. And what I would say, platforms operating in Ireland must be held to the highest standards under EU law. And certainly we will hold them to that.
Will you meet with them?
Absolutely. If we are required to do so, we will. We will engage. I have checked before coming on today's show in regards to the CCPC's engagement. They haven't had recent engagement. They have had no complaints. They have had over 45.
Are you saying you will engage with Sheen at their European headquarters in Dublin if you get a complaint?
Well, again,
can I tell you this? Because I would urge you, right? My team has looked into this and I have seen the drop-down box, Dolls for Men Pleasure. I've seen the images of what's on, seems to be, purports to be on sale on that site. It is disgusting.
Well, we certainly will, Cormac. I think it's only appropriate that consumer protection and safeguarding is kept as a key priority, and very much so. We do need to hold them to account.
They are welcome to clarify anything, right, if we're getting anything wrong, but that is the statement they've given us. Saturday@rte.ie. Marie.
Well, Cormac, I think it's absolutely alarming that products like that would be for sale on a website available here in Ireland, that we would hear language like review, that there would not be immediate interventions by the authorities here in Ireland with regards to that. And I think it's a stark warning to us all that when we look at how retail is moving online now, it's not just that you go on to one clothes company. There are platforms out there that sell products right across the board. One thing I do want to say say, though, to the comments that were made earlier about people who are listening in today going, you know, they're finding it really tough at the moment and their only option is to buy online or indeed to buy very cheap products. You know, the vast majority of our clothes here in Ireland come from China, Bangladesh, India, to a lesser extent, Turkey, right? There's a huge range of quality in terms of what is coming out of those countries. So many of the retailers that we're all very familiar with, which we go in and out to buy, are you know, people clothes on a regular basis, come from these countries. But it is the conditions upon which those clothes are produced in those countries is which is critically important. And ultimately, we have platforms selling clothes off the back of slave labour here in Ireland. And I think that is utterly unacceptable. But there's an opportunity for the government here, right? Because there's an EU directive that's been delayed for many years. There was a breakthrough this week. This is the Corporate Consumer Sustainability Directive. And this is effectively to shine a spotlight into how those goods are ultimately produced, right? Because ultimately, these are about the producers here, the exploitation in both in production and how goods are sold. And the Irish government, when they have the EU presidency next year, has an opportunity to force that through, to shine a light into the production practices of those companies and ensure that those goods that are made off the back of slave labour are not available here in Europe. I think the second key point is that the likes of Shein obviously is getting away with a very lax regulatory framework across Europe with regards to the sale of the goods that you described there. And it is alarming and the regulators need to clamp down that immediately.
Okay, some text to 51551. Shein and Temu are well known by people to have products made by slaves and child workers. The real issue is that a lot of Ireland doesn't care. They're so impressed by the bargain, they laugh off the slavery side, even knowing the truth. Just so they can have the latest things, says that listener.
Well, that's not my experience, Cormac. My experience is that people do care, but they also care about being able to afford warm clothes, etc., etc. But I think that what is very, very, very disturbing, not just the items that you have listed there that are for sale on a website that is accessible here and indeed, you know, it, as you say, is accessible here right now. It's the attitude. Yeah, but the attitude of the minister is quite hands off. You know, I mean, it seems when it comes to Fine Gael, they'll turn up to open the corporate headquarters for Shein. But when it comes to regulation, they're a little bit behind the curve.
I'll give Alan a chance to respond.
No, can I just get it? Can I please just make the point in relation to...
This is not just about fashion.
I want to make an important point in relation to work that my colleague Lynn Boylan is doing in the European Union. And it relates to resourcing customs officers and ensuring that they have the resources that they need so that they're not overwhelmed by the amount of packages that are coming in from these companies. But again, if we don't have strong legislation to ensure that these companies are regulated and compliant, well, then we're at nothing with this conversation.
Yeah, what I will say is, you know, this government certainly supports strong enforcement because safety and fairness come first. The Commission can impose fines up to 6% of global turnover. So if they do fail to meet their strict obligations to illegal or harmful products on their sites, then they need to be held to account and we will do that.
But if they were banned in France, Alan, should they not be banned here? Are you going to wait?
I mean, well, that is something we will have to engage with Commissioner Mullen.
It's a long time now.
We are going to take a very quick break. We'll be back
instead of doing
in 60 seconds.
Saturday with Cormac O'Hara on RTE Radio 1.